This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
It is not hidden from any of you that we are approaching the month of Ramadan, a month of greatness, a month of generosity, a month of action, a month of closeness, a month of potential. There is so much to be achieved in Ramadan that it becomes very important for a Muslim to consider his and her position before and after Ramadan. And that's why in the hadith the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, and the expression in Arabic, which may be not very well translated, but he said, رَغِمَ أَنْفُ امْرِئٍ أَدْرَكَ رَمَضَانٍ وَلَمْ يُغْفَرْ لَهُ, means like, may a person rub his nose or his face be rubbed in the ground, sign of humiliation, that he comes and reaches to Ramadan and then he does not attain the maghfirah, the forgiveness from Allah. So even at the very basic level, he's not even managed to attain that. So what a loser he is. Because Ramadan has so many elements in it that allow a person to achieve so much, that if you don't achieve, then yes, you deserve to put your nose in the ground out of shame. Ramadan is an opportunity for us to change for the better. Because every Muslim should always be looking at, how do I become a better person? How do I improve? How do I step up? Because we're all going to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we are going back to Him, and He shall display to us our record. As in the hadith, Yabna Adam, إِنَّمَا هِيَ أَعْمَالُكُمْ أُحْصِيهَا لَكُمْ. O son of Adam, it is your actions, it is but your actions that I am collating for you, I'm gathering, I'm recording it for you. فَمَنْ وَجَدَ خَيْرًا فَلْيَحْمَدِ اللَّهِ. Whoever finds good, then he should praise Allah, the Almighty. وَمَنْ وَجَدَ غَيْرَ ذَٰلِكَ فَلَا يَلُومَنَّ إِلَّا نَفْسَهُ. Whoever finds other than this, he should not blame except himself. Because he didn't take use of the opportunities. Didn't realize that he had to change and increase in his good deeds, reduce his bad deeds, increase in all the aspects that are going to get him to achieve the most out of this life. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants you to increase your iman. Because in increasing your iman, that will give you that impetus to increase your good deeds. Iman, and more iman means more good deeds, more actions. It's almost like a stone, a rolling stone. The more iman, the more momentum. And the more momentum, more good deeds. And Ramadan is that opportunity to increase iman, because you can get closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to make firm and to establish your relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because it's a time for good deeds. As the Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَمَا تَقَرَّبَ إِلَيَّ عَبْدِي بِشَيْءٍ أَحَبُّ إِلَيَّ مِمَّ افْتَرَطْتُهُ عَلَيْهِ. That my slave will not come closer and draw closer to me with anything more beloved to me than that which I've made obligatory on him. And Ramadan is an obligatory fast as well as other obligatory acts. وَمَا زَالَ عَبْدِي يَتَقَرَّبُ إِلَيَّ بِالنَّوَافِلِ حَتَّى أُحِبَّهِ. My slave continues to draw closer to me with the extra deeds until, or to the extent that I love him. So again, Ramadan has the opportunity for extra deeds. Secondly, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants from you to increase your taqwa, your piety, your God consciousness, your awareness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when you are aware of Allah and you know Allah, you will fear Allah. And when you fear Allah, you will abstain from all that Allah has prohibited you from doing. And that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that one of the purposes of Siyam, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا كُتِبَ عَلَيْكُمُ الصِّيَامُ كَمَا كُتِبَ عَلَى الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِكُمْ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ. Or you believe fasting has been made obligatory on you, has been written on you as it was written on those before you, in order you may attain taqwa. And so by fulfilling the commandments of Allah, you are displaying that you are aware of Him and you are conscious and you fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so it changes your outlook on how you deal with things. The abstention from food and drink and desire should be accompanied with an awareness that you are doing it for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and because you only fear Allah. And that's the nature of fasting, because fasting is a secret act. Nobody can tell whether you're fasting or not, unless they are with you all the time, literally, you know, never go out of their sight and they're watching you and watching you, your mouths, that you don't put anything in. But usually that's not the case. You could always go and hide somewhere and sneak something in. And that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made fasting such a great act of ibadah that is in many ways superior to other acts. In the hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, كُلُّ عَمَلِ ابْنِ آدَمْ لَهُ الْحَسَنَةُ بِعَشْرِ أَمْثَالِهَا إِلَى 700 ضِعْف. All the actions of the son of Adam, of the human, is for him. Each deed is multiplied by 10 and maybe up to 700 levels or multiples. يقول الله تعالى إلا الصوم فإنه لي. Allah, the Almighty, says, except fasting, for it is for me. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala specified fasting to be for Him. And Allah explains in this hadith, يدع طعامه وشرابه وشهوته لأجلي. He leaves his food, his drink, his desires for my sake. Some of the ulama of tafsir, of sharh and the explanation, they said, why did Allah specify fasting, except that it's only for Him? Some people said that, well, fasting, because like we said, I just mentioned, it's a secret act. You know, nobody can see you doing. And so there is no element of arrogance and showing off. Unless you go around showing off, isn't it? I mean, now when somebody prays, they can pray, you are seeing them pray. You see them do hajj, you see them, hear them reciting Quran, you see them maybe giving charity, etc. But fasting is an abstention, so it's the other way around. So unless somebody actually goes around telling people, like unfortunately some people do, and we ask Allah to protection from this. I used to have a friend who... On one occasion he came and visited me, and it happened to be a Thursday. So out of hospitality, I offered him some refreshments, you know, tea, coffee. So he said, no, today is Thursday. So in a very, even a hidden way, it's not even subtle. He's trying to say, well, today's Thursday and you should know that Thursdays I'm fasting. It's like, why are you asking me? And even though he was maybe trying to, he didn't probably word it in the right way, but you can see that there is a potential for losing that reward by making somebody seem to think that I am so great or so pious that, you know, every Thursday I'm fasting. So, you know, why would you even dare to offer me something to eat or drink on this day? So there is a risk of losing the reward in that regards. But that's only if you announce it. Some of the other ulama said, what is unique about fasting, which is not unique about any other ibadah, is that it is the only ibadah that has been directed to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. All other forms of ibadah and acts of goodness and righteousness have been in one way or another directed to other than Allah, potentially. So for example, salah. There are people who prostrate to idols, or maybe to other people, or even to, you know, to animals perhaps, or to trees or whatever. So there is that act. People have done that. Charity, people will give on behalf. You know how many people today sacrifice on behalf of somebody? Not that they get the reward, because that's okay. If you give a udhiyah or qurbani and you say, I intend, you're doing it for Allah, but you intend the reward to go to somebody, that's different. But when somebody actually sacrifices to come closer to somebody else, maybe somebody who is deceased or somebody, you know, if I sacrifice for this person, I will get something in return. And so people have done that. Even the tawaf, people, we do tawaf as we go to and do the rites of Hajj or Umrah. There are people who do tawaf. People do tawaf around graves or around other monuments or whatever. So you see that all these ibadat, people have potentially or have directed it to other than Allah. But nobody has directed fasting to other than Allah, because there is nothing to gain from this. You know, usually when you're doing it for somebody else, you're trying to come closer to them. You might want to get something when you prostrate or you bow down to a king or a ruler or whatever. You're trying to get something from them. But why would you say, look, I'm not going to eat and drink for your sake? It doesn't make sense. So that's why it's the only ibadah that's directed to Allah. And that's why Allah said, إِلَّا الصَّوْمِ فَإِنَّهُ لِي وَأَنَا أَجْزِي بِهِ. Fasting is such a great ibadah that with fasting there comes the power of self-control, self-restraint, your ability to control yourself. And in this ability to control yourself, there is power, because that means you can control how you react when you eat, when you drink. The biggest thing that will lead people to the fire is their inability to control their desires, to let their desires lead them. أَفَرَأَيْتَ مَنِ اتَّخَذَ إِلَاهَهُ هَوَاهُ. Allah says, have you seen the one who has erected his desire as his God? He has made his desire his God. So whatever his desire dictates to him, he follows. That's what a God is. A God, in the end of the day, tells you what to do. What's halal, what's haram, how you should live your life. So if your desire tells you to go this way, and you follow it, it becomes your God. And if you don't control yourself from the desire, you will end up leading yourself into the hellfire. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, فَأَمَّا مَنْ طَغَى وَآثَرَ الْحَيَاةَ الدُّنْيَا فَإِنَّ الْجَحِيمَ هِيَ الْمَأْوَى. As for the one who transgresses and gives preference to the life of the dunya, then his abode will be the jahim, the hellfire. وَأَمَّا مَنْ خَافَ مَقَامَ رَبِّهِ وَنَهَى النَّفْسَ عَنِ الْهَوَى فَإِنَّ الْجَنَّةَ هِيَ الْمَوَى. As for the one who fears a day of standing in front of his Lord and prohibits or prevents his nafs from the desire, then his place of abode will be Al-Jannah. So you see, Al-Jannah, the key to Al-Jannah is to fear Allah and to put a barrier from your hawa, from your nafs. Don't let yourself follow the desires. And fasting gives you that power to do that, to control. The ability to control your desire so that not whatever you want you give and have and take. And there's a bigger message here in the spirit of Ramadan that is not just about leaving food and drink during daytime. You have to have the power to control yourself during the nighttime as well. And I'm not saying here that you fast during the night, but I'm saying even when you are fasting during the day, your end goal should not just be that I'm come Maghrib, I'm just going to eat everything, basically. You know, whatever I can stuff inside my, is going to go in there. Whatever I've been dreaming about throughout the day, I'm gonna have it and so on. That defeats the purpose. It's narrated that once Umar ibn al-Khattab, he fancied some fish. He felt that he would like some fish, and he just mentioned it in passing. So his family, having heard this, and they wanted to, you know, they wanted to treat him. One of his servants went on a journey because, you know, Medina is not near the coast. There's no rivers in Medina, there's no sea. So he went to the sea, a few days travel, and then he, you know, to get him some fish, basically. They brought it back, they cooked it for him, and then they presented it to him. He said, "What's this?" He said, "This is some fish for you. We heard you say the other day that you fancied some fish, and we bought you some fish." So he said, he went and looked at the animal that had been taken, you know, he had taken an animal and to ride it to the... So he looked at the animal and saw the animal was dusty, was tired. He said, "You tired this animal for a few days just for my desire? By Allah, I'm not going to even eat this fish. You know, it seems like you have missed the whole point." He was quite upset that an animal had been put through so much just to give him something that he had fancied. And so the people of the past, they controlled their desires. And not whenever they sought something, they gave it. And that's something that we have to learn as well. Is that when you, next time you feel you fancy like something to eat, yeah, hold back. Say, "No, not today. I'm not going to have that pizza or the kebab or the samosa or whatever. The curry and so on." Hold back. And when you break your fast, don't make it a feast. Yeah, make your breaking of fast in line with the whole spirit of the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And in this, like I said, there is power. And that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tested the children of Israel with this ability. We all know in Surah Al-Baqarah that when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chose for the children of Israel, after they asked for a king, Allah gave them a king, Talut. And Talut led them into battle. But before they were to go into battle, he tested them. Talut said to them, "Allah is testing you. This ability to control yourself, your desires." What was the test? "Inna Allaha mubtalikum binahar." Allah is testing you with a river. Whoever drinks from that river will not stay with us in the army. But whoever can hold back and not drink from the river, then he will remain in the army. he's allowed just one scoop of water, that's all. And so that test to control yourself and the ability was what determined, if you like, it separated the wheat from the chaff, separated those who were weak and those who were strong. The ability to control the desire were the people who were strong. And they were the people, even though they were small in number, they went on to defeat the army of Goliath, which you all know about, the famous incident, and where Dawood alayhi salam, who was in the army, he was a soldier, he killed Goliath. And so that was the power. And so in fasting and the ability to control your desire and to control yourself, there comes the power. And that's why in the hadith the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, فَإِذَا كَانَ يَوْمُ صَوْمِ أَحَدِكُمْ فَلَا يَرْفَثْ وَلَا يَصْخَبْ. When it is the day, the fasting day of any one of you, he should not be abusive, he should not cause commotion, shouting on control again. فَإِنْ شَاتَمَهُ أَحَدْ أَوْ قَاتَلَهُ. If somebody tries to fight with him or tries to cause a problem with him, to argue, to provoke him, then he should say, إِنِّي صَائِمْ. إِنِّي صَائِمْ. I'm fasting. I'm fasting. And even the commentators, they said, he said, the Prophet ﷺ instructed to say it twice. Once to yourself, to remind yourself, I'm fasting. And the other time to the other guy, to say, I'm fasting. So leave me alone, basically. And it's about control, again. And a Muslim, and again, this is not just something you do in Ramadan. This, Ramadan is the training ground for you to maintain that behavior. So that outside Ramadan, also you maintain that behavior. You're not somebody who's easily provoked. You know, somebody just sends you a provocation and you are provoked. You're just emotionally reacting. Rather, you should be rationally reacting. You know, you should be assessing things and responding to them accordingly, according to what is the correct response. Not just because somebody has angered you or somebody has caused you. And that's the way of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and the way of the people of the past. So Ramadan teaches us this, and teaches us the ability to be that kind of person. So how are we going to benefit from Ramadan? I will, inshallah, give you a few pointers in the second khutbah. أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله لي ولكم فاستغفروا. Seek Allah's forgiveness, for He is the one who forgives all sins. الحمد لله الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه ومن والاه. عباد الله تقوا الله كما أمر فإنه قال يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله ولتنظر نفس ما قدمت لغد واتقوا الله إن الله خبير بما تعملون. أو you believe, fear Allah, and let every person look what they have presented to the morrow, for tomorrow. And fear Allah, because Allah is informed of what you do. The most important focus of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the Sahaba, the ulama of past and present, is the importance of sincerity, ikhlas. And that is a key. But to have ikhlas and sincerity, you have to first have an intention. So learning to have an intention in your day-to-day lives, and more so in Ramadan as you are approaching, is important to get the most out of Ramadan. Intention is almost like your announcement of how you're going to behave. It's like putting in front of yourself your motto, your slogan. This is my intention. This is what I want to do. And Ramadan shouldn't be any different from this. You should have an intention of what you want to get out of Ramadan and what you want to do in Ramadan. And that has to start now. It can't be just something that you leave to the last moment. Think about what Ramadan means or should mean to you and start intending what you will achieve in Ramadan. And once you start having the intention, then you can start to fine-tune it to make it sincere to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because having an intention is one thing, but making the intention sincere is another thing. Because you have to try to make your actions for Allah. One of the righteous people of the past, Sahel al-Tasturi, he said that one of the summaries that the righteous people and the intellectuals have attained in understanding ikhlas, in the definition, you like, this is the cream, if you like, of the definitions of ikhlas, is that all your actions, all your moments of stillness and movement, whether you are still or movement, you're not gonna be anything else, right? You're either moving or you are still. In terms of in private or in public, so all your actions, whether stillness or movement, in private or in public, are all for Allah, not for the nafs, not for the dunya, not for any material gain. That's the summary, and that's how basic it is. And that's how you can try and make that sincerity, is to think that everything that I do has to be for Allah. If you're starting to do it for somebody else, you're starting to do it for a material gain, you're doing it even for your nafs, and that's where it becomes very tricky, even then you are losing ikhlas. How do you do something for your nafs? To make yourself proud and happy, and you look down on others. I'm such a great person. You feel doing ibadah. You might be doing your ibadah privately. You're praying in the night. But you are praying in the night. But that prayer in the night, instead of giving you the humility and making you closer to Allah, if it makes you feel that you are better than others, you know, wow, I'm such a great guy. I'm praying at night. I'm praying qiyam. Nobody's seeing me, and you feel, and then you start looking at feeling so content with yourself, there is a danger there as well. So ikhlas is not easy, but it comes through practice. Ramadan is a great training ground for this. So that's number one. Number two, which follows on from this, is to have a plan. Plan your Ramadan. And plan what you want to achieve in Ramadan. How many times are you going to read the Quran? How many times or how many prayers you're going to pray in the masjid, jama'ah, taraweeh wise, adhkar wise, charity wise, seeking knowledge wise. You know, lots of things, avenues that you can look into. You know, and today if you go online and you search for Ramadan checklist, you'll find many people have already done you a checklist. They've already done half the job for you. You'll have to just print it off. You can allow yourself to have, but you have to have also your own plan. And if you do that, then that allows you to focus, and hopefully inshallah as Ramadan enters, you know what you want to achieve, and you can be ahead of the game. By knowing that, okay, I want to be doing this, I want to be doing that. And you could be questioning yourself, you know, every day. And there's nothing wrong with this. Nothing wrong with putting a checklist and saying, the checklist says, for example, Sunnatul Fajr, Salatul Dhuha, the Adhkar of the morning, the Adhkar of the evening, saying La ilaha illallah wahdahu la sharika la 100 times, saying Subhanallah wa bihamdih 100 times, reading Qul huwa Allahu Ahad 10 times, reading one juz of Quran. You know, all these things, it helps you, it focuses you. So try to do that as well, and inshallah you'll get a lot out of Ramadan. By reading Quran, by giving charity, by doing the adhkar, you will, bi-ithnillah ta'ala, seek and change for the better, inshallah.